Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Ben Zabinski. Today I'm going to be presenting on the draft work plan for development of a conditional waiver for agriculture in the Klamath Basin. I'll also provide some background on the board's region-wide priorities regarding agriculture and present a plan for a region-wide scoping process that will inform our approach to agriculture. The Klamath TMDL was adopted in March of this year and included in the implementation plan an action for the regional board staff to develop a conditional waiver of WDRs for grazing and irrigated agriculture for consideration by the board by December 2012. At the meeting, the board directed staff to come back with a work plan to develop the waiver. I'll be presenting on the work plan, but also how the Klamath TMDL fits into the board's region-wide planning. I'll present the staff recommended approach to agriculture and the planned stakeholder process, which includes an initial scoping process for the region to solicit input from stakeholders both in and outside of the Klamath Basin. I'll start with the larger context, which is the regional board's non-point source program. As a reminder, the regional boards are required by the statewide non-point source policy to develop WDRs, conditional waivers of WDRs or prohibitions for all non-point sources in the region, including agriculture. In March 2006, regional board staff presented a list of non-point source program priorities to the board that outlined our approach at that time. The priorities were permits for agriculture in the Scott and Shasta basins, a region-wide dairy permit, and a region-wide grazing permit. Since that time, we've addressed the Scott and Shasta basins through TMDL waivers, which are soon up for renewal, and we've begun to develop the region-wide dairy permit, or permits. Grazing will be addressed on Forest Service lands through the U.S. Forest Service waiver, but a region-wide permit for private land grazing is currently not in development. Although the other agricultural areas in the Klamath Basin, such as the Lost River, were not listed as a high priority at the time, staff did note that priorities may change based on the Klamath TMDL. Okay, so the next few slides will give an overview of the agricultural land uses in the North Coast region, which include, or we have them categorized as irrigated agriculture, grazing, and irrigated pasture. So these maps need more work, but they do give a good overview of the variety of land uses in our region, and we'll continue to fill in details. The gray lines are the county lines. This first slide shows grasslands in our region, and it was taken from the National Land Cover data set. The green color on the map doesn't necessarily represent or doesn't mean that there's grazing in that particular location, but grazing in our region shows a similar distribution to this, and as the map shows, it's pretty much everywhere, and this really points towards a region-wide approach. This slide shows irrigated agriculture, which on this map includes irrigated crops aside from vineyards and irrigated pasture aside from dairyland, so I'm excluding those irrigated categories, and those will be on the next slide. So this shows that, you know, irrigated agriculture is more focused in certain areas. Water quality issues are more unique to these locations compared to grazing, which points to a more site-specific approach. And there's pretty large irrigated ag areas in the Scott. The Scott's right there, the Shasta, Butte Valley, and this is Tule Lake, Lost River. There's also smaller areas in the Smith River Plains, right up here. And then there's the Little Lake Valley by Willits and Potter Valley right here. And there's also some other dispersed areas that don't necessarily show up on this map. So this is the vineyards and dairyland I have on one slide. Vineyards are mainly in Sonoma and Mendocino County. They're shown in purple. And dairies are shown in blue and are mainly in the Laguna. Where's the Laguna? They're kind of showing up down here. And they're also up here by Humboldt Bay. This is the Eel River and Mad River bottomlands. There's also some dairies mixed in with other grazing in the Stemple Creek area by Petaluma. So this is the whole thing back together. And I've also got the Klamath Basin on here in blue. You can see the Klamath Basin takes up a large part of the region. It also contains most of the irrigated cropland and not many dairies or vineyards. So we consider different approaches to developing the waiver that both meets the needs of the Klamath TMDL and works into our region-wide approach. There's two pairs of options we considered. One is the geographic scope, which could be either region-wide or watershed-specific. The other is whether to have separate waivers for each land use or combine land uses into a single permit. There's also several, you can combine these options. For example, there could be a land use-specific and watershed-specific waiver, as they have in Region 2 in the Tamales Bay watershed, and that's the most focused combination. Or there could be a region-wide waiver for a single land use category, such as the irrigated lands programs in Region 3 and Region 5. The benefit of a watershed-specific program is that the program can be developed at a more local level. It can better account for local watershed conditions. On the other hand, a region-wide program provides a more level playing field and is easier to administer. Common staff have retained from the Klamath TMDL public process also factored in. For example, we received several comments from stakeholders expressing a need to account for local conditions, which points towards the watershed approach. So based on the feedback we got and our program needs, it's the staff recommendation that the Klamath Basin waiver be developed first, along with region-wide scoping for future program development in other parts of the region. The Klamath Basin represents a large part of the region and also includes several sub-watersheds, so it represents a blend of the region-wide approach and the watershed-specific. With this approach, we can accommodate the local needs of the various sub-watersheds while making efficient use of our resources by covering the whole basin at once. At the same time, we'll be scoping throughout the region to engage stakeholders and develop a framework for the rest of the region. And since both grazing and irrigated agriculture are well represented in the Klamath will inform the development of future permitting. So here's a list of the tasks to develop the waiver program and the timelines on the next slide. So we'll develop a plan to involve stakeholders and conduct the region-wide scoping. We'll form the advisory group or groups that we will work with to develop the Klamath Basin waiver, along with stakeholder representatives. The development of the waiver will be an inclusive and transparent process. We plan to hold public workshops during the process, as well as present updates to the board. When we have a draft waiver, we'll begin the official public review and comment period, respond to comments, make revisions, and then prepare for the hearing. And this shows the timeline with those tasks, and I divided into three pieces and also three different stages. So there's outreach, development, and then the public review leading up to adoption. The outreach stage includes the scoping meetings, the advisory group formation, and lasts until February 2011. Continuing on to the second stage in March 2012 is the development of the draft waiver itself, which involves meeting with the advisory groups, holding public workshops, providing updates to the board. That takes the most time, has the most time allotted. And then that leads up to the public review draft and the beginning of the last stage, which takes about 6 months, should take about 6 months, starting in May 2012 with a 45 to 60 day public comment period, response to comments in the board hearing. And then we left a couple months buffer between the board adoption hearing and the December 2012 deadline for the Klamath TMDL there. Optimistically. Okay, so for the immediate future, there's the development of the stakeholder involvement plan. Part of that is to meet with stakeholders, and we've already been doing that, and we'll continue to do that. We also plan to develop a web page and a specific email list that can in part be taken from the Klamath TMDL email list. In the fall of this year, we'll be conducting the scoping meetings that will also serve as scoping for the Klamath Basin waiver. The purpose of those meetings, which will be held in several locations throughout the region, is to both provide information about the regional board's programs, present potential sources of funding, and provide examples of what other regions are doing to address agriculture. We'll receive input from stakeholders, which will better staff's understanding of the range of land uses, as well as the appropriate scope of future permits. The meetings will also provide information on existing programs that are currently addressing water quality and what BMPs are appropriate for local conditions. So that's it.
Thanks, Ben. Any board member questions or comments?
I would just comment that I'll extend my invitation to utilize my experience in this area to staff and to Mrs. Coleman whenever you guys need me.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi. Okay. Thanks, Ben. Sure. I have one before you, though. No problem. Thanks. This will work fine. Felice?
I'll defer to the young lady.
Okay. Since you're here.
He's being nice today. Well, I guess I'll take it. All right. Susan Corum, Krug Tribe Water Quality Coordinator. I'm glad to see that this was on the agenda and that it's going forward. Of course, you know, I'm going to say that I think that this could happen a little bit faster than 2.5 years. It seems like a very lenient timeline for this process. I know the groundwork needs to be laid so that it can be applied region-wide later on. That's great and all, but I think you could shave a good 6 months off that timeline at least. It just makes, I don't know, we shouldn't talk about our feelings, but it makes me sad that it's going to be 2.5 years before there's even the potential for implementation to be starting for ag cleanup. I mean, because it's 2010 now, we've got 11, 12, and then we got to make it to December. So it's 2.5 years. This were our same comments before the TMDL was adopted. It's just a very long time before we get the ag guys who are polluting and are going to keep polluting until then to even start to think about cleaning it up. So we can step up the timeline at all, that would be much appreciated. Also, we want to make sure that the tribal interests are actively involved in any of the stakeholder groups, of course. And we don't want it just ag-dominated. It needs to be a very inclusive group, including nonprofits, local advocacy, all that kind of good stuff. Not just ag. Make sure that everybody gets fair interest in there. And so also so that people don't feel like they can't talk because it's just, you know, farmers yelling at them or whoever yelling at them. You know, we don't want one group to dominate at all. And also, I guess I'll use this time. I just wanted to say it's been really great working with you guys, and I'm going to be resigning from my position in August. And I'm very sad to leave Natural Resources, but I needed to find a way to spend more time with my two young kids and stay in the Klamath River. So I'm kind of shifting gears to a different career for a little while. I'm going to be in the education world, helping with our little local school. And I'd like to find a way back into natural resources sometime. I just, you know, this opportunity came up and I just needed to do a personal shift. It's been really nice working with the staff and working on these processes. And I hope you know that I'm going to be staying as I am. I own river land right on the Klamath River. I've got Klamath River frontage, so if you guys really piss me off, then you know I'll have to come yell at you at the meetings, and then I won't have to be so polite either because I can come yell at you like one of all the other local folks. So I just wanted to let you guys know that so you didn't hear it from some other source. And you know, all doors are open and bridges left unburned has been my thing. So I hope I can work with you guys again soon in a different capacity. But this has been really nice. And I guess normally you don't say warm, fuzzy things to regulators, but it's been a fun trip. So you guys better clean up the Klamath River, damn it, because I'll be sitting there watching. Of course, I'll be sitting in the garden in the summertime with my kids eating strawberries, but, you know, I'll see that the river gets cleaner.
I'm going to bet Mr. Massey a steak dinner. This will not be the last speaker card with your name on it we see in a 2.5-year period.
Okay.
So.
All right. You guys have a wonderful time.
If I may.
Please.
That's so cool. You're going to spend time with your kids. When my daughter was 2, I left Natural Resources from a 40-hour week way, and I've always been able to find my way back in, and I'm sure if that's in your heart, that's where you'll find yourself. But raise those babies right. That's the most important thing.
I'm glad you were here, Heidi. I thought I'd hear from you. Cool. Thank you.
We certainly appreciate the work you've done. Mr. Pace.
Let's see you match that. Felice.
Felice Pace representing himself. I wouldn't even try. But I'm looking forward to seeing Susan unleashed. That'll be quite a sight when we get to see it. I want to note thank the staff for all the work that they're putting in on this. And also, I feel the same way as Susan about the time frame. I wish there was a way we could speed it up. I have one concern about the way this is being done. If you note on the green item for this, it lists the other ag waivers that have been done and so far in the state, and gives a little background on that. And none of them have tried to mix irrigated agriculture and grazing into one process, into one one waiver. And I have concerns about how that's going to work, frankly. I noticed that it said advisory groups, not groups, so I think the staff is probably, I take that as indicating that they're probably thinking they're going to have to do separate groups for irrigated agriculture and grazing. The issues are so very different. It's like we'll be doing two parallel processes, right? So does it make sense to lump them into one waiver? Do we save anything, a lot of staff time that way? And I'd like the staff to respond to that, because I can see some problems down the pike. The stakeholder process might be successful on one side and not successful on the other side. One might take a lot longer than the other one. One might be challenged, and they could both be held up when one could go forward. So I'd just like, to see that concern addressed. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other comments? Oh, okay. Board member questions? All right.
I guess that's not completely set in stone. The thinking behind that was to have general conditions that would apply to both. And we could have a module for each. I mean, they would be almost separate, but within one permit. And the benefit of that, as well as having one permit, there are landowners who have both activities. They graze and they irrigate. So as opposed to having them have two separate permits, the idea was to have one permit that covered both, and you'd have two different parts to it. But point taken that they are separate processes and that they may take different amounts of time. That's definitely a good point. So,
and if I may add to that, I think it's early days. We're far from really a place where we can say what we're going to end up with at the end. We're just really just beginning. We may end up with two separate permits or more. We really don't know at this point.
Great. Thanks. Look forward to the next report, Ben. Thank you. Okay. Well, reviewing what we have on our agenda, about all we have left is the Forest Service, and I'm hesitate to try to launch into something as big as that with 15 minutes before our scheduled lunch break. So the board has closed session we need to go into and some items to discuss on that. So we're going to take a little bit longer lunch than we usually.